It is almost September, and one of the publishing highlights of that month is going to be Out of the Wreck I Rise, a literary companion to recovery by my friend, the immensely talented Sun-Times columnist and author, Neil Steinberg. Neil, hi.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
That's not too much praise for you.
The
publishing events of the fall.
Were it true.
It is true.
I will accept that.
It is true.
It is an event. It is being published, so you're correct about that.
What it is, as you write, you wrote this book with a woman in collaboration with a woman named Sarah Bader. Who is she?
She is an editor at Fiden, which is a press in New York City. She is a quote collector and researcher. And one of the cool things about this book is we have never actually met. We wrote it in Google Doc and over the phone and collaborated for nearly 5 years. But we're going to see each other, I think, for the first time at the Poetry Foundation launch September 8th.
So that's a bash. I'm going to spend the last 10 minutes of this segment talking about the bash because it features me, too, and Tony Fitzpatrick and Gilmarine.
I can hardly believe it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I can hardly believe, Neil, that you pulled this book together. How many quotes are in here?
I have no idea.
You didn't even count them, huh?
No. We had to get almost 90 permissions, meaning contacting poets, singers, the estates of poets, Sony Pictures, you know, to get permission. You can't just take someone's poem and put it in your book. You have to find them and pay them.
What amazes me about it is the gathering of thoughts from others, many of them writers. You write in here, the purpose of this book is to get you started toward living right, toward a better life you might not even realize is out there, or if you've already stepped in onto the bridge, to keep you focused and inspired, to fortify your besieged spirit and feed your hungry and battered mind something substantial to help you realize that while addiction can seem romantic, recovery is the path of the hero. I know you wrote that, and that is so well put. The next sentence says that this is a collection that can be shared with family and friends. I think this collection is essential for family and friends.
Well, there's a lot of confusion as to what addiction is,
exactly.
What alcoholism is, and people think it's just this really stupid choice that a person keeps making because they're dumb.
Or weak
or stupid or thoughtless, and those things certainly enter into it. I don't want to soft pedal it, but, you know, addiction is at its heart a mental illness, an obsession. You know, you love this stuff, and you can't stop even though it destroys your life. And one of the purposes of the book, you know, there's a romance about addiction, you know, Keith Richards and heroin and all that. And I wanted, in my mind, there's a romance to recovery. It is the path of the hero. And you have all these wonderful, powerful thoughts about it. And I kind of wanted to marshal them in one place. Sarah and I talked about having the book like have a plastic cover, like a marine manual, you know, like something you
can
quote. We wanted something which is, you know, it's a companion to recovery. It's supposed to go with you. I'm a big Walt Whitman fan. And I'm sure you know Whitman volunteered as a nurse in the Civil War.
Sure.
He read Leaves of Grass. He's basically pulling your face to his big bearded face and saying, you know, oh, despairer, you know, here is my neck. By God, you will not go down. Hang your full weight upon me. And I wanted that sense. That quote's in the book where he ministers to you. I wanted a book because, I mean, it's the, you know, the opening sentence of the book. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. Giving up drinking or drugs is incredibly difficult. It's hard to do with help. You can't do it without help, and it's hard enough to do with help. And I wanted, you know, not everyone has the support system they need. And I thought, you know, I can collect all this stuff, which supports me. I mean,
no question. I mean, your book of a few years ago, Drunkard, which I also just thought was magnificent and remarkably honest, personal story of your fight with ongoing fight, because I guess it is always an ongoing fight.
You're never recovered. You're always recovering.
With booze. Did you, and you say in here that, I remember my mother struggled with it too, that sometimes the tenets of Alcoholics Anonymous, as good as Alcoholics Anonymous has been for millions and millions and millions of people, it doesn't always help everybody, does it?
No, it doesn't, and this book is intended sort of for the people who AA doesn't help. Although I think people in AA could get a lot from it.
No question.
Discuss the program and go through its various ramifications. You know, AA offers God or the higher power.
Higher power.
It offers the companionship of other people, but it doesn't. You know, if you read Bill's book, it's not great literature. It's not thrilling stories. You relate to them. You go, hey, I'm like this guy, but I thought, you know, there were so many great writers and philosophers and poets and songwriters and things who've been through this. Why not let's hear what they have to say about this?
Yeah. You start, the first quote in the book is wish I'd known him, Lord Byron, man being reasonable must get drunk. The best of life is but intoxication. That's from Don Juan. There are, I haven't counted them either, but from John Cheever to Keith Richard, Virgil, Shakespeare, Walt Whitman, Mark Twain, Langston Hughes, Tolstoy, Dickens, Nelson Algren, there's a long...
And a tweet by Ricky Gervais. I don't
yes, that's right.
It's all, you know...
Oh, no, it's not all... Oh, no, it's not like the Norton Anthology or something.
Right.
Oh, no, it's much cooler. You've got maybe the longest excerpt is... Maybe. I haven't counted the words as... There's a remarkable one from David Foster Wallace from his novel.
It's definitely the longest
is
one.
It, is it from Infinite Jest? And it's you got a lot of Keith Richards in here, too, which I greatly admire. There's Stephen King. There's how did you and Sarah Bader, how did you go about doing this, Neil? You must have said, well, I think I remember... Does it start like this? Do you say, yeah, I remember, like, John Cheever wrote something about drinking.
We kind of threw all these quotes together in a big 500-page batch. You know, you basically threw in everything we could think of. We kept putting things in, oh, look at this, oh, look at that. And then we started to kind of craft them into a narrative. One thing I'm very proud of this book is it's not like an anthology. This
oh, no.
It's sort of a mosaic where they're fitted together to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certain things I went and looked for, okay, in the sense I wanted to have a chapter on relapse. And I wanted to, you know, some of these people are like characters, and they keep showing up in it. And so I had a guess that Samuel Pepys, the famous English diarist,
in the
1560s, you know, I knew he was always sort of, you know, hanging out with hookers under London Bridge. And I figured he's probably drinking as well. And he was not only drinking, but then he would be swearing off drinking. And because it's a diary, it's got the dates on it. So you see him on, you know, September 10th, 1662, putting his hand to his heart and vowing to God to not drink, and then you see him 2 weeks later with a bunch of aldermen and captains and things going away at it. And it very clearly, so you saw, you know, in that way, the way that people kind of slip again and again and again trying to get this right.
Well, one of the things I love about the book is that notion that it is divided into chapters. For instance, chapter two is, I don't want to do that. The end of the party. In which you, and here's something that you found, this nugget from an unpublished draft of The Sun Also Rises. It is, of course, the author of that book, novel, Ernest Hemingway, saying there was nothing to do but to drink. Each day became a replica of the day before. Not to get too anatomical about this, but how did you discover that?
That was Sarah Bader. She is a very, you know, she has a website called Quote Nick, and she, you know, if there's a quote that's out of left field, that was her. The quote from Kayak Morning, Roger Rosenblatt, the direction I least trust. I wouldn't have thought, let me look at this kayaking story to see how it fits in. And she brought some amazingly diverse things to it. And you know, not all the quotes are about addiction.
Not at all. I mean, it's not like, that's one of the reasons, you know, that I think this book, yes, it could be undeniably helpful for someone who is going through the process, and also for the shared with family and friends. I think it's a remarkable read for anybody. You know, I still drink. I hope not to excess too often, but I found it enlightening. And you know what? I found it. I hope this is praise. I found it wildly entertaining.
Well, that's good. I mean, look, the Toronto Star reviewed it today, and they called it a pub crawl. And they said it completely ignored the whole idea that it's supposed to help you in recovery, which left me a little aghast. But the guy basically treated, I mean, if I'd written hurrah for booze, I think he could have written the same review. So I'm kind of glad to hear you say that. I mean, there is the purpose of helping people who are in addiction or helping them understand their family, but it's also supposed to be a fun. Now, fun's the wrong word. It may be fun. I guess, I mean, if you love writing, I mean, there's so many, you know, Raymond Carver and Louise Gluck and Mary Oliver and these different poets that we have there. I mean, I didn't, one of the rules, I tried not to have too many rules, but I tried not to have any quotes that were really familiar, you know, because part of what makes things boring is if you've read it four times.
Oh, absolutely. That was one of the things for me is the surprise. I mean, I'd read a lot of these authors, but some of it came at me. I do not, for instance, remember this line from a book I've read about four times. Nelson Algren's The Man with the Golden Arm, and I do love this line, and it does have a place in this book. It is, "For how does any man keep straight with himself if he has no one with whom to be straight?" That's a pretty amazing one, and it fits.
That's in the part where, you know, we're talking about AA, where you go and you have to talk to other people.
Yep.
The role of talking to other people in this, and I think, you know, one of the things that helps you get towards recovery is to recognize yourself and other people.
Sure.
So it's sort of a syllogism where you go, this person's obviously an alcoholic. You know, A, B, I'm just like them.
Yep.
So C, you know, I'm an alcoholic. And you know, we tried, there's only one that I consider like a famous quote, and that's from the T.S. Eliot, the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock, you know, when I'm pinned and wriggling on the wall, because it was such a good sort of description of when you first, I mean, the book is really a journey. It starts with Byron saying, you know, the drunkenness is the best of life. I wanted it to start like in the middle of the story, you know, you're out there having fun, and then very quickly, you know, the fun sort of curdles, and suddenly you have Eugene O'Neill saying, you know, I need to take a drink to feel alive.
Yeah.
And
there's another quote in here, this to me is a relatively famous quote, but it's also one that really needs to be in the book. It is Hemingway. "The world breaks everyone, and afterward many are strong at the broken places." We got to take a break. I'm going to talk to Neil Steinberg, the author of, along with Sarah Bader, Out of the Wreck I Rise, a literary companion to recovery, but also a book to simply enjoy for, not only for its mission, but for its entertaining heft. If you're not in recovery and you don't need this book, you will still enjoy this book. We'll be right back. Out of the Wreck I Rise, the book by Neil Steinberg, my guest today, and Sarah Bader, who I will meet on September 8th at the Poetry Foundation, is a gathering of advice, hopefulness, and just good literature. It is divided into chapters. Chapter 8, for instance, is "Upon Breach of My Late Vows About Relapse." And Neil, if I have heard this phrase from about 1,000 people, I've heard it from 1,000,000 people. "I'm on the wagon, no hard liquor, only beer." That's F. Scott Fitzgerald. Chapter 9, called "Gravy," is one of the most moving chapters. You wrote the chapter introduction. It is about the great, legendary now short story writer Raymond Carver. Talk to me about Carver.
Well, Carver was a huge, you know, the great tradition of 20th century drinking writers, and he was really a short story writer, but he was also a poet. And when he was 40, a doctor basically said, "You're going to die." And he managed to give up drinking, and he had 10 more years. He lived long enough to see himself sort of lauded as the literary icon he always wanted to be. And he viewed this last 10 years of his life as gravy. And he wrote this beautiful poem about the fact that he had this last decade of life, that he was, you know, he had already gotten cancer, so he was dying when he wrote it, but just on how he was able to live and love, and you know, he viewed giving up drinking as the greatest accomplishment of his life. The poem is inscribed on his tombstone.
I know, and people visit that tombstone. I mean, he has this whole section is just, it's inspiring, should be inspiring to anybody who wants to do anything. Carver's wife, Tess Gallagher, described it this way, as Neil writes in the book: instead of dying from alcohol, Raymond Carver chose to live. And you do cite parts of that poem in here, and it's pretty amazing.
Drinking, they think at first their life is over. I certainly did. You know,
yeah, I know you did.
Part of your life.
Sure.
And now it's over. And I wanted to stress to you that no, actually, your life is not over. That it, in some ways it's just beginning, but it's a different sort of life. You know, I sort of boiled it down to, you know, when you're addicted to something, there's really the one substance. Your entire focus is on this thing.
Right.
Whether you know it or not. And when you give it up, you have to swap that one thing for everything else, and your judgment is so skewed that it seems like a bad deal. You're like, well, wait a second, I'd rather die.
Yeah.
And people do.
Oh, no,
and,
no question.
And we certainly, both of us, know people who have.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I'm not, you know, I never thought, you know, you've known me for many years, Rick, I never thought I'd be the welcome wagon for sobriety, and it's not a role I feel comfortable with by constitution.
Sure.
I think in a way, these poems and things help me sort of gild it, and I can say, this is what I'm talking about. And anyway, I didn't set out to write this book, but I read a lot, and I would come across things,
yep,
and I would set them aside. I mean, a lot of it, I think it really started reading Boswell's Life of Johnson. And if you're familiar with Samuel Johnson, he was this very smart, very witty man who also, you know, tremendous drinking problem in London in the 1750s. And he's having these wonderful conversations in the book with Joshua Reynolds and Adam Smith and things, and they're saying, you know, what do you do if a goodly gentleman takes you to his cellar where he's had wine sitting up 20 years and bids you to drink? And Johnson is saying, you know, no goodly gentleman will make another gentleman drink. And besides, you know, once you've given up the vast personal pleasure that comes from drinking wine, any other consideration is but a trifle. You know, you read that and you go, yes, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
You know, once I've done that, I can do anything.
No kidding. You are having, you're going to do, I'm sure, a number of events, but one big event you're doing is Thursday, September 8th at 7 o'clock at the Poetry Foundation. Fantastic new building, relatively new building at 61 West Superior.
Have you been to the shrine? It's really beautiful thing.
Well, it's because It's because that lovely woman left them millions of dollars.
$28 million.
Yeah, yes, exactly. You can build it. You and I would have a nice building.
Yes.
The idea of this is it's a reading that will feature you, Sarah Bader, Tony Fitzpatrick, Carol Marine, and me. How did you come up with that trio?
You're the first. Sarah is going to be there. She's going to answer questions at the end. She's
okay.
Not going to read because she's shy. Honestly, you were the first three people I thought of. I first thought, well, you know, I've been to see Patricia Smith and other real poets read, and I thought, I don't want to. No one wants to. You know, I sound like Woody Allen. Like, you know, I didn't want to. I just didn't want to do it. I said, why should I do it myself? Let's. You know, I've seen Tony read. I've seen you read. I said, I know these guys. They're really good. Why don't they come help me? And to my vast gratitude and surprise, you guys all said yes. So I asked you, I asked Tony, I asked Carol, and you guys said sure. And so, although Tony is, you know, he does movies, and he's filming some sort of movie. So his caveat is, you know, unless he's filming a movie that evening.
It's called The Patriot. It's called The Patriot. It's an Amazon original production. He plays a prison guard with a checkered past, which seems to me perfect typecasting, though he might also be on the other side of the bars, too.
I tried to assign parts to each of you that seemed to fit. And so I'm really, Tezzer, very excited to hear you guys, you know, read some of these works.
Well, I also think the nice thing is you've got two people who don't drink, and I don't know about Sarah, but you and Tony don't drink. Carol, right, and I still do drink, so I think it's also a perfect kind of balance. The book, Neil, so far has gotten a couple amazing reviews that I think in some ways really surprised you, because you never know, do you?
Right. It's a trust drop back into the arms of fate. And I've been very excited to hear, you know, the comments from Gene Weingarten. You mentioned Joshua Bell, the Washington Post columnist who wrote Fiddler in the Subway, you know, who put Joshua Bell in the
sure.
Washington Metro and put a styrofoam cup in front of him. It was an act of genius, right?
Yep.
And so it's funny. He really enjoyed the book, and he said it was a terrific book that he's been waiting his whole life for.
Wow.
Which was high praise. And Alexandra Styrone, William Styrone's daughter, is quite big in the recovery community, and she called it a lifeboat. You know, there's a lot of water imagery in the book. I really liked that. You know, there's a lot of shipwrecks and life rafts and things and mazes, and because this is a confusing, difficult path for people.
No,
it certainly is for me.
No question. I've lived through it with many, many loved ones of mine, including. That includes you, too, Bill. September 8th, 7 o'clock at the Poetry Foundation.
It's free.
It's free, but you should register. You should go to poetryfoundation.org. It is a free event, but you should buy books at book events. That is something that goes without saying. My father taught me that long ago. I'd say, why are you buying Studs' books? That's just like your really good friend. And my father, he's buying four books. He goes, you have to support your friends.
Yep. I once went to Roger Ebert's book signing and bought books, and people were like, well, what are you doing? I'm like, your friends buy friends' books. I don't care if he is a millionaire. I'm buying his book. You have to.
That's right. It'll be, are you reading or are you just introducing us?
I'm going to read the introduction. You know, we're reading the entire chapter. It's like Pink Floyd doing the Dark Side of the Moon or something. So I'm going to read the prose version, like the prose introduction, and then the four of us are going to basically alternate and read.
Well, I know you put my parts in the mail. I can't wait to get them. I will rehearse and rehearse and rehearse not to let you down, Neil Steinberg. I love this book. Out of the Wreck I Rise by Neil Steinberg and Sarah Bader and dozens of unbelievably talented, insightful, and entertaining writers, poets, songwriters, and such. Neil, I will see you, if not before, I'll see you Thursday, September 8th. Go to poetryfoundation.org. Everybody. Neil, love to your wife.
Thank you so
take
much.
Take care, hon. See ya.
It.
Bye.
Time.
Really is a good book. Fascinating. We got to take one of those little breaks, then I'll get some news. Then we're going to talk to Sean Shiflett about his new novel, Hey Liberal, and then later to Ron Faola about another Wisconsin Supper Club book.